Go ahead and turn in your scripture to John chapter 4. Brother Michael, I got a little barrel sound up here. Thank you. Tuesday at 10 o'clock is prayer meeting. Wednesday at 7:30 is family worship night and our Kids Connects. That's our kids' classes. We're doing a little rebranding. And then Saturday at 5 is our men's ministry. Again, we're so thankful for the special day that was given us last week, and I want to say thank you to the church. We're in our series, The Gospel of John, Seeing Jesus in John. That's truly my desire, is that we would see Jesus. Let me put this little caveat in here before we get started this morning. Brother Steve talks about watching people, and I watch people too, not at the mall. I watch them from the platform. That can be interesting. Sometimes folks have this idea that the speaker MC is blind. I've seen some interesting things, you know, everything but surgery going on. And sometimes God does surgery, though. I've been blessed by what I've seen, people worshiping the Lord, weeping, getting into the service. Sometimes my heart is very disturbed, though, because there's folks that I know that have pressing problems, and then we get into worship service and hear singing like we just heard, and instead of focusing on Jesus, they've turned inward in their hearts to their problem and their crises and just become deeper embedded in that. And I would just like to say, why don't you just turn your attention on Jesus and worship Him? Who else but the enemy of your soul would get your attention on something that takes it away from Jesus, the love of God, the Word of God, the truth of God, the people of God, the love of the people of God? Who else but the enemy would turn your attention that direction? So that course has some very, very good words of instruction. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And I trust that this is what this series of messages will do. It'll help us see Jesus like we have never seen Him before. John chapter 4, we're just going to read a few verses, but we're going to try to cover the balance of this chapter. So if you'll keep your scripture open. Verse 25, remember last time, of course we had a hiatus last week, but last time we was talking about the woman at the well. Jesus encountered her divinely and there at the well and offered her living water that would come from deep within. So we'll pick up that story at verse 25. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. I'm the Messiah. And upon this, talk about timing, upon this came his disciples and marveled that Jesus talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou? That's to the woman. Or why talkest thou with her? That's to Christ. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the anointed one, the Christ, the Messiah? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. From this story, the remainder of the story this morning, I want to preach this message moves. This message moves. Would you stretch forth a hand and pray with me and for me that God, in the balance of this service, will speak to our hearts. Father, I pray for the anointing of that eternal Holy Spirit. Lord, you know every soul here, every heart, every need, every situation, every circumstance, every pressing matter. I pray, Lord, through the quickening of your word, the life of your word, that you would speak to us as individuals, speak to us as a people. Lord, may we leave here with a more crystal clear understanding and revelation of who you are, Jesus. Reveal that to our hearts. Anoint me to preach this morning. In Jesus' name, I pray. Before you're seated, shake somebody's hand. Praise the Lord. This message moves. The popular paraphrase of our contemporary times, paraphrase of the Bible, is called not the Bible, it's called the Message. I'm not here to promote that because, in fact, it's not a translation of the original languages. It's a paraphrase. It's put in the words of man. It's not an attempt to translate. And though I'm not promoting that, I do like the title, The Message. The Message. The gospel, the good news, is a message. And could I say it's a wonderful message? It's a message that we have heard, and in turn, it's a message that we must share. I just want us to think about what the word literally means, message. Message is important information that one has that is for someone else and must be given to him. If I've been given a message for Brother Mark, it's information that's been put in my charge to take to him, and that's information that must get to him. That is what a message is. Could I say this morning, this message of Jesus Christ has changed our lives. How many could confirm that this morning? The message of Jesus Christ has changed our lives. But it's not something we hold to ourselves. It's a message that we must take, and it must be given to others. It's like the message on July 20th, 1969, when Neil Armstrong became the first human to step foot on the moon, and he radioed back to NASA headquarters, "That's one small step for a man and one giant leap for mankind." That was news that had to get back to NASA. That was news that the news agency immediately tried to get out to the world. It's something that had to be told. It's like the message that a cure has just been discovered to a previously fatal, incurable disease. That's a message that needs to get out to the world. It's like the message to a soldier on the front line that he's just had a child born back at home. That's a message that needs gotten to him. It's like a message that there's a half price sale on that item you've been desiring and wanting. You would say, "That's a message I need to get." It's a message that needs to be got out. All I'm trying to say is the essence of a message is that it's something that must be told. And when it's told, it's going to have an impact. It's going to move. Messages like that move. I'm going to look at the remainder of this story, and we're going to discover about this message. First of all, this message, it moves the one that hears it. I said it moves the one that you may not believe the message, but that has no effect. The message will move the one that hears it. We're going to see in this story that the message moves the one that has it to share. Hallelujah. I can't tell you how many times I've preached the gospel. Amen. But it still moves me to share the message. Amen. And number three, this message, amen, moves from place to place. Amen. It moves forever onward, forever forward. It's forever spreading. This message is unstoppable. Amen. It spans the globe. Oh, what a message we have. A message that moves. Amen. It moves us when we hear it. It moves us when we share it. It moves the heart of the hopeless. It moves the heart of the hardened. It moves the heart of the helpless. Amen. It moves across every barrier, social and economic and educational. It reaches every kind of person. This message moves from darkness into light and from unbelief into belief. This message will move people off the road to hell and move them onto the road to heaven. This message will move people out of the life of a misery of sin. It'll move people from bitterness and purposelessness into a life of joy and peace and the power and grace of God. It'll undo you. This message will do. It's a message that moves. So let's look at these things. First of all, this is a message that moves the one that hears it. Verse 26, Jesus said unto this woman, that speak to thee, am he. Do you realize this is the only time before his trial? And I don't have time to go into the reasons, but this is the only time before his trial that Jesus explicitly revealed himself to be the Messiah. The only time before his trial. And he does so not to the scholars of Jerusalem nor to the high priest, but he reveals himself to be the Messiah to a woman of bad reputation, a foreigner, a despised one. To her he says, I am the Messiah. She had to think later on, why me? Why did he reveal that to me? She wasn't the only one to think it. Look in verse 27. At that moment when he is revealing himself as the Messiah to the lady at the well, his disciples came back from the village. They had went to get food. And when they saw Jesus talking with her, they were astonished. They were flabbergasted, if you will. Yet they knew enough not to question what was going on. Did you know that the gospel, this message, always has a way of turning things upside down? Of going beyond expectations. It's really not turning upside down. It's turning right side up. But when Jesus was sharing this with this woman at the well, it did not look right to the disciples. You got to think. There's nothing improper. There's nothing inappropriate. But the disciples are walking back to Jesus and see him by himself talking to a lady of ill repute. They had questions in their mind. They were astonished at what they were seeing. Why? It broke every convention. It broke every tradition. Amen. Was she soliciting the master? Was she? In other words, they asked that. They wanted to ask that. They said, what seekest thou? And why would Jesus stoop to talk to this woman, this kind of woman? Amen. This message is already moving. It's moving people out of their traditions and their ways of thinking. Amen. And why would Jesus talk with this woman? That is a good question. Amen. Why would he? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus had a message that was moving him. It had to be shared with that woman. Amen. Verse 28. When the disciples walked up, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men. I don't know how quickly it happened, but when Jesus said, I am the Messiah, suddenly the woman got it. Suddenly she understood. Even what she had heard had so moved her. I give you living water. I'm the Messiah. What she heard had so moved her that it moved into the deepest parts of her heart, and something changed upon hearing that. And now she forgets why she came to the well. She forgets her previous pressing need and desire for water, and she makes haste and leaves her water pot. What's her hurry? Why did she leave her water pot? Why? Because she's been moved with the message. Hallelujah. Not only did it change her, move her to change, it moved her to share it. Amen. I want you to know, sir, you could preach a whole message on this. I won't. But it said the woman then left her water pot. She's in a hurry. Amen. Why does John note something as insignificant that she left the water pot when she went back to the... Why did he note that? Well, first of all, if he noted it, it wasn't insignificant. It meant something. And second of all, this just confirms that John is an eyewitness, because only one that was a witness of that kind of thing would have thought to include in the story that she left her water pot, a seemingly insignificant detail. I want to ask briefly this morning, why did it mention her leaving the water pot? First of all, and I've already alluded it to it, it's because she was in a hurry. She didn't even have time to pick up the water pot. Why? She was moved with the message. There's somebody here at our village that's offering eternal, everlasting life that'll bubble up on the inside. She left it because she was in a hurry. Why did she leave it? Because I believe it signifies, amen, when you find the new, you leave the old. Hallelujah. Amen. She had found the new water. She had found the living water. She had found eternal life. Amen. Finding the new water, she leaves the water pot with which she drew the old water. I'm telling you, when you really get moved with the message, when you really get saved, when you really get converted, you're going to leave the water pot of the old life and embrace the living water of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Why'd she leave the water pot? And I believe this has to be some of it. I've marveled at this. Do you remember back in the story, first of all, that Jesus was very thirsty? How many remember that? Amen. Jesus was very thirsty. And then when Jesus got to talking to this woman about giving her living water, she noted the fact. She looked at Jesus and said, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. From which sin are you going to get that living water?" Jesus didn't have a water pot, and he's thirsty. And the woman knew he didn't have a means of getting the water, the physical water. I kind of believe, I don't know how that all processed in her head, Sister Mary. She's in a hurry to get back to the village with that message, but she knows that Jesus is still thirsty, so she left the water pot for Jesus to get his drink. Jesus got his drink. Let me tell you what's going on. As thirsty as he was, Jesus turned his attention to meeting the spiritual needs of that woman. And when her spiritual need was met, in the end, as a human, Jesus' physical need for water was met. She left the water pot. Amen. You may be thirsty. Would you hear me right now? You may be thirsty this morning. I said, you may be thirsty this morning. Let me tell you how to get your need met. You go minister to somebody else. You focus on meeting somebody else's spiritual need. You know what you're going to find when you get done? You're going to find a water pot where you can have your drink too. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Amen. This message moves the one that shares it. Look in verse 29. She got to the village and she said, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Messiah?" Amen. This woman is testifying. She's sharing her message. Listen to me this morning. So much is in this woman's testimony. First of all, this testimony of this woman tells how Jesus' message had changed her and moved her. There was no abracadabra. There was no item for sale. Amen. There was no hocus pocus. Jesus just shared the word. If you knew who I was, and I'm going to tell you, and if you would ask of me, I would give you living water. And the message of Jesus changed her life. And now the woman's testifying. What he said, it changed me. Even she who had been hiding from the stares and the gossip of the disapproving townspeople of the village, she who had been sneaking out in the middle of the day to avoid contact, now she's seeking the very people that she had sought to avoid. She's seeking them out. Why? Because the message moved her. In particular, it said, she saith to the men. Remember, in that culture, women didn't talk to men in public and to public figures. I want you to think of something else, and you check it out. Amen. I just believe it's true. You read over and over and over through the Old Testament and the New that it was the custom of a village that the authorities of that village and the elders of that village and that counselors of that village and that the judges of that village, their place of importance was inside the gates of the village. They had seats there. Amen. When you visited that village, when the gates were open, they would be the important men. Amen. Here's the thing. Amen. The men sitting there inside the gates of the city would have been the men that would have judged her for her lifestyle, would have judged her for her impropriety. If they were the ones that held sway over the opinion of the village.
There are men that had her life in their hands. But listen, when she's moved by the message, she's not afraid of anybody. And she runs into the gate. And there all the dignitaries said, she's not ashamed. She's not embarrassed anymore. Why? Because the message has changed her. And she says to those who had previously condemned her, I've got to tell you something. There's a man that just changed my life. Oh, can you say amen? Look what she says to them. Come see a man which told me all that ever I did. Not only is she full of exuberance and joy over whom she met, she's glad that the one she met has told her of her sin. In other words, she's glad that Jesus dealt with her sin. Listen, how do you know you've really been converted? How do you know you've really been changed? How do you know you've really met Jesus? You'll be just like this woman. You'll be overjoyed that your sin came out. You'll be overjoyed that he dealt with your sin. Hallelujah. You'll be overjoyed. You've been changed. In fact, I really believe this. Please consider it this morning. There's such a pull from the modern church, the offering of a new gospel that's just to put a band-aid over the sin of our life and go on and reap the blessings of God. Why do churches not have the tremendous joy they used to have and the praising of God and individuals bursting out in song and testimony? Why? Because sin's no longer dealt with. And if sin's not dealt with, what's there to be so happy about? But I'm telling you, when you know your sin's been dealt with, the condemnation's gone, the guilt's gone, the penalty's gone, the judgment of hell is gone, then you've got something to rejoice about. He took my sin away. She rejoices. Verse 30, then they went out of the city and came unto him. Now I'm going to tell you this. These are people, townspeople that wouldn't even talk to her, give her the time of day. But when she shared about Jesus, they immediately took her message to heart and acted upon it and left the village to go to the well to meet this man. Why would they give credence to what this woman had to say? Why would they give credence to she whom they had despised and ridiculed? What was it that caused them suddenly to follow her admonitions and meet that man? I'll tell you what it was. Everybody she met and heard her could tell she was a changed woman. That's why they listened to her. That's why they left the village and went to the well to meet this man, Sister Mary. They could tell from her testimony. They could tell from her countenance. They could tell from her life. She was a changed woman. The message had moved and changed her. Could I tell you this morning, there's a world waiting on people who can come to them, and it's evident there are people that's been changed. Hallelujah. Verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman. Amen. Listen to me. Amen. Never demean the testimony you have to share. This woman had no credence till she met Jesus. And now people are getting saved when she testified, he told me all that ever I did. Verse 40. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. Amen. I'm telling you, the message is moving, folks. It's changing, folks. These are people, the Samaritans. Between them and Jews was nothing but hatred and discrimination and bias. And now these Samaritans are asking a hated Jew, Jesus, to be their guest. They're begging this Jew to stay in their village. I'm telling you, this message, it moves. It changes, folks. Verse 41, Jesus stayed. He spoke to them, and many more believed because of his own word. When they heard his message, they were more moved and more believed. Verse 42, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy testimony, thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Amen. When they say this, now we believe because we heard him ourselves and didn't just hear you, they were in no way demeaning the woman's testimony and saying, we didn't really believe you. They believed her. Well, they'd never left the city. What they're saying is, we've heard him ourselves, and everything you told us was true about him when we heard him. He has confirmed what you told us about him. You don't have to be embarrassed sharing about what Jesus has done for you and who Jesus is, because whom you share it with, if they come to him, they'll find that what you told them is true. It's true for you. It's true for them. It's true for the world.
Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. This message moves. Amen. Amen. You know, you truly don't get it until you hear him for yourself. You could hear others share. You could hear others get excited. But until you hear him yourself, that makes all the difference. How many's heard him for yourself? Glory to God. The message moved them to believe that this Jewish carpenter was the Messiah, the Savior, and he was for them too. Amen. Next, this morning, this message moves the one who has to share it. First of all, Jesus was moved by the message, moved to share it, moved because it must be shared, and the woman needed to hear it. Verse 3, Jesus left Judea, departed again to Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. We preached that last week. Not only was Jesus moved to share it, the woman was moved by the message to share it to the very ones who had ridiculed her. We talked about that. Verse 28, the woman left her water pot, went into the city. Verse 39, she told to those, she said, come see a man. She was moved to share it. She had tried arguing with theology with Jesus. Amen. She had tried to avoid the people of the village. No more arguing. No more avoidance. She's simply going to give the people an invitation to find out who this man is. Do you see the words there in verse 29? Amen. She says to the men of the village, come see. Have we heard those words before? What did Philip say to Nathanael? Come, see. What did Jesus say to John? Amen. The other disciple, come and see. Amen. That's the message. It's still the message. You don't have to take this on hearsay. You can come and see for yourself. Aren't you glad he's not discriminate? Amen. What he's done for one, he'll do for others. They were moved to share this message. I want you to hear me this morning. The message had changed this lady's story. Therefore, the message became her story. I said the message had changed this woman's story. Therefore, it became her story. Hear me this morning. When the message has changed your story, the message will be your story. Amen. If you can tell your story without telling his story, amen, he has not yet become a part of your story. I said if you could tell your story without telling his story, he has not yet become a part. I'm telling you, Jesus ought to be everything to us. Quit telling your story, amen, and not having Jesus in it. Amen. He is our story. Oh, I know the villagers knew that lady's story, but they only knew her story up to the point that she met Jesus. It's that way with people at work, people of your past. They may know your story, but they only know your story up to the point you met Jesus. And may I tell you, that's when your story really begins. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Aren't you glad he mixed his story with your story? He changed your story with his story. I've heard many times through the years, people come to me, both as students and then when I begin to pastor, and say, pastor, I just don't know how to witness. Some of these people had been to Bible school. I just don't know how to witness. And I've simply have told them, and I'm going to re-preach it, but the way to witness is just tell people what Jesus did for you. Yeah.
Tell them what your life was before you met Jesus. Tell them how you met Jesus. Tell them what your life has become since you met Jesus. What I'm saying is, tell your story. Now listen, in the interval of time between when the woman rushed to the village and shared with the inhabitants that the Messiah had come to the well and changed her life, in that interval, while she's gone, Jesus at the well has something to say to his disciples. And it's instructive for us. Look at verse 31. In the meanwhile, while she was gone, the disciples prayed him, saying, "Master, eat." That's what they went to the village for. He said unto them, this really startled them, "I have meat to eat of that you know not of." They started looking around for a McDonald's bag. Who brought him food while we were gone? We went through the trouble to go to the village to find food, and somebody's brought him food while we're gone. He said, "Oh no, I'm not talking about that." He said, verse 32, "I have meat to eat that you know not of." I'm not talking about McDonald's here. Amen. Verse 33, "Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him to eat?" Again, they're wrong. And Jesus saith unto them, here's the meat I'm talking about. I'm talking about doing the will of him that sent me and finishing his work. While the lady's gone sharing the message, Jesus uses that opportunity to say to the disciples and to us through them that we should feel an urgency to get this message out. We should be moved to share it. And he introduces some very important truths that we're barely going to be able to touch on. But he says, just like we were so hungry and needed strength, and when we eat of this physical food, our bodies are replenished and renewed and find strength. Don't you understand that when your spirit gets weak and your spirit gets unsettled and your spirit gets weary, if you would just do the will of God, amen, it would be food for your soul. It would refresh you. It would renew you. It would replenish you if you would partake of that food. I want to say this morning, if you'll share the gospel and see it change people's life, you'll never know a greater impact on your own soul. You'll never know a greater sense of fulfillment, a greater sense of purpose and joy than when you share the message and see it change someone's life. I've done it in personal evangelism, and I've done it in preaching when I've shared the gospel and somebody's life got changed. And I can testify there's no greater sense of fulfillment. There's no greater renewal and replenishing of the soul than to share the message, do the will of God. Amen. We have a word we make today. Please hear me. Amen. The word is hangry. It's when people get irritated, frustrated, and grouchy because they haven't eaten and they lack the nourishment eating would give them. If you know somebody that gets hangry, please lift your hand. No, you better not. You might be sitting next to them. Amen. Hangry. Amen. Amen. Just frustrated. You know what I feel? Now listen, you got to get this. Come on. Come on. Jesus said, "I have meat to eat of that you know not of." In other words, if you're not eating of that spiritual meat, doing the will of God, sharing the gospel, your soul gets hungry. Amen. Your soul gets depleted and gets worn out. I've known people who are spiritually hangry. I said spiritually hangry. They're irritated, they're frustrated, they're grouchy, and the reason isn't this or that. The reason is they're not doing the will of God. They're not sharing the message. They're not moved by the message. They're not moved to share the message. And they become critical and hateful and fault finding. If that's you, amen, the answer is do the will of God. Amen. Be consumed that we have a message to tell. Tell somebody about Jesus and see if it doesn't feed your soul. Verse 35, Jesus brings another thing in about the message. "Say not ye that there are 4 months and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They are white, already to harvest." Harvest brings a sense of urgency. Right, Brother Michael? If it's time to harvest, you must not delay. Amen. If you delay, something can happen past the point of its fruitfulness. Amen. Storms can come, rain, mildew, different things. Amen. When the harvest is ready, there's an urgency to get into the fields and to get it before it's too late. Missionary after missionary have shared this with us. Amen. But the point is, not just the disciples, but we ourselves should have this urgency about the harvest. It's a time of harvest. There are people who are ready to be saved, and we should be moved to share this message. But Jesus is saying something else. Amen. He says the fields are white, all ready to harvest. But he's just started preaching. Isn't it right? He's just started preaching, and yet he says the fields are white, all ready to harvest. What is Jesus saying? He is saying this. Usually there's a long period of time, 3 months or so, between sowing and reaping. But I just sowed the seed to one woman, and it's already bringing about the harvest. She got saved, and look, disciples, lift up your eye. Who's that coming down the road? It's a delegation of the village. I told you I just shared the gospel, and already the harvest is here. You may just think it takes a long time. Share the message tomorrow at work. You may be surprised how quickly the harvest will come. Amen. Not verse 13, but I'm going to get to this. Amos has pointed out that this is a sign of the last days. Amen. Amos 9:13, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth the seed. Amos said that's a sign of the last days, when the harvest, the reaping, immediately follows the sowing. Happened at Pentecost. Amen. The reaping immediately followed the sowing. And it can happen today. Verse 36. Jesus said, he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit into life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Amen. Notice, it's always about eternity. He said, he soweth and gathereth fruit into life eternal. Life eternal. This message is always about eternity. There's no greater joy than sowing the seed and sharing the message and seeing people's lives change, not just for now, but for eternity. Verse 37, and herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. Some think this is a reference to John the Baptist. His ministry is just closing. He may not have seen a whole lot of converts, but Jesus said, amen, he sowed and now we're reaping. Amen. But more importantly, it says, one soweth and another reap. Jesus is saying each and every one has a role to play in getting the message out. Never come saying, well, it's just those behind the pulpit or that got a microphone. They're in the classes in the back that have a role. Every born again person, everyone changed by the message, has a role in this harvest. Amen. Amen. So many live starving, stale, stagnant Christian lives, unhappy Christian lives, because they are not moved to share this message. You have a role in this. Let God move you to share it. Verse 38, Jesus said, I sent you to reap that wherein you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you are entered into their labors. Amen. I simply want to say this morning that sometimes we that are saved, we can easily forget, amen, that we are here, we are saved because we heard the gospel from someone else. Someone has paid the price that we in Union Road could be here this morning, have the sanctuary that we have the means and the venue of preaching the gospel that we have. Amen. Never forget when you reap that somebody else sowed. Aren't you glad others have sowed? Amen. Let's move on to a conclusion. The message moves across every barrier. Verse 9, the woman of Samaria says to Jesus, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria. This woman recognizes that Jesus is breaking social custom. Jesus is going against established prejudice and hatred and bias. Jesus is crossing cultural and social and religious barriers to talk to her. But that's what this message does. He crosses every barrier. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus had a message to share. Hear me this morning. This message cannot, this message must not, this message will not be held back with the boundaries of certain demographics. But this message will cross every boundary. It'll cross every ocean. It'll go to every part of town. Hallelujah. Listen to me, church. It's true for all of us. If we're not careful, we will think and begin to think the gospel is for people just like us. And so we'll reach out to people just like us. We will share with people just like us. We will begin to think that only people like us can be saved. I want to say, no, this message is for everyone, anyone. God uses Jews to share it with Samaritans and Samaritans to share it with Jews. Oh, hallelujah. Did you realize who got this? What I'm telling you, not the disciples. It was the Samaritans that understood this. They said, now that we've heard it ourselves, we know that he is the Savior of the world. They understood. It's for all people everywhere. It crosses every barrier. It's for the white, for the black, for the red, for the yellow. How many's going to stay with me a few more minutes? Hallelujah. Amen. It's for the old. It's for the young. It's for the legal citizen. It's for the illegal immigrant. It's for the clean cut one. It's for the one with dreadlocks. Amen. It crosses that barrier. Amen. That woman, Jesus crossed the barrier to her. She crossed the barrier. Those that heard her ridiculed her. Verse 28, she said to those men, amen. And now as we conclude this chapter, we're going to see the message change or cross one more barrier. It's a barrier of status. This is just a common lady, not a good lady. But the gospel's about to move a court official, one of the king's men. Notice in this chapter, Jesus started with a poor woman sharing the message. He ends the chapter sharing it with a high up court official. Even all through John, it was Nicodemus who was rich. Even the lady who was poor. Nicodemus educated, the lady uneducated. Nicodemus who was a Jew, the lady who was half blood, a Samaritan. And then Jesus will share it with a Gentile. Look in verse 43. This isn't the Gentile, but he will share it. Verse 43, now after 2 days, he departed thence and went into Galilee. I'm simply going to note, Jesus was always on the move. The message was moving him. Verse 44, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Then when he was come to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went into the feast. If you're a careful reading, careful reader, you might have think you just read a discrepancy in scripture, because Jesus said a prophet hath no honor in his own country. He went to his own country, Galilee, that's his country, and it said the Galileans received him. So that looks like an indiscrepancy. Jesus said a prophet has no honor, and then they received him. But you got to read the record clear. The point isn't that they received him as Lord and Messiah. They received him as the miracle worker. This got to Jesus. If you remember in chapter 2, in Jerusalem, they believed in his miracles, but they did not believe him as the Messiah. And so the scripture says Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew their hearts. They only believed him as a miracle worker and not as the Messiah and the Lord. Amen. John said in chapter 3, it said, no one received him, but as many as received him. In other words, they were not willing but a few to receive him as Messiah. Jesus did not receive the honor of Messiah in Galilee. Therefore, this is not a discrepancy. He received only attention as a miracle worker. Look what happens, verse 46. So Jesus came again into Canaan of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman. The word nobleman literally means one of the king's men. He was a court official, maybe a cabinet member, one of the chief aides of the king. And he came to Jesus. He's from Capernaum. And he comes to Jesus at Canaan and said, "My son is sick." Verse 47. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal him, for he was at the point of death. Amen. He heard about Jesus. Amen. Come on, just a few more minutes. Amen. He heard about Jesus, and that message moved him to seek out help for his sick son. I still believe if people would hear about Jesus, there would be those with desperate needs that would come to Jesus for help. They would be moved with that message. Verse 48, we don't understand this unless we understand the crowd. Then Jesus said unto him, "Except ye." Can anyone tell me what I'm about to say? Jesus said unto him, the nobleman, "Except ye." You all. He's really talking to the crowd, the Galileans that wanted to accept him as a miracle worker and not as a Messiah. He's saying, "Except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." All you're in this for is the wow factor. All you're in this is for the sentiment factor. You're not in this to acknowledge me as Lord and Savior. Amen. Please hear me, church. We're there today. A lot of people are into Jesus as far as the wow factor goes. If we can have something going on, something spectacular, they're in it for the wow factor, but they're not in it to believe that Jesus is Lord and Master, glorious one. Except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Amen. Verse 49, the nobleman said unto him, "Sir, things are desperate here. Sir, listen, come down before my child die." And Jesus saith unto him, Jesus is compassionate, but listen, here's Jesus' message. "Go thy way, thy son liveth." And the man believed the word. Oh, hallelujah. The man believed the message that Jesus had spoken unto him. We're in verse 50. Amen. He believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Oh, hallelujah. What was the word? "Your son liveth." Could I tell you, Jesus' message is always the message of life. Come alive. Be alive. The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Could I tell you his message is this morning? You're dead in trespasses and sin. But Jesus' message is, come alive, be alive. Your son is alive and he's going to keep on living. He's alive and he's going to keep on living. Now listen, it would be hard to leave the person for whom you had come from help with no more evidence than their word that your son was okay. Amen. It would have been hard for that dad to turn and leave Jesus. Amen. Jairus didn't. He made sure Jesus came with him to his daughter. It'd be hard for this man just to take Jesus' word that his son was okay and turn around and go back those 14 miles to home. But this man is so moved by Jesus' word and by his message, he just obeyed, he just believed, and headed home. Hallelujah. You say they don't believe, maybe they need to hear the message. Hallelujah. How many believe this message moves people to believe, to obey? Verse 51. Oh, it gets better. And as he's now going down, his servants met him. He could see him coming. These servants are running. They're jumping. And they have a message. "Thy son liveth." Even these servants, not the disciples, even these servants had a role to play in the message. "Thy son." This reminds me of when somebody gets saved, folks getting on the telephone or texting. You won't believe who got saved tonight. Mom and dad hadn't been able to be at church. Dad was sick. But they get a phone call. Guess who got saved tonight? Your son or your daughter. They came to the altar. They believed the message. In other words, you're saying your daughter's alive. Your son's alive. Oh, aren't you glad for a message that moves? Go ahead, come music. I'm quitting. Verse 52. Then inquired this dad of them the hour when he began to amend. And they say unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the faith left him. Please hear me. I'm only going to say a little bit here, but it's important. Faith is not afraid to ascertain the evidence. I said faith is not afraid to ascertain the evidence. Amen. These servants said to dad, your son liveth. He said to them, when did he start getting better? When did he get better? Amen. They said yesterday at the seventh hour, that's 1 o'clock, the man, the father, listen to me, he's doing some calculating. What if they had said, your son got better at 10 a.m. He could have said, that was before I talked to Jesus. Jesus had nothing to do with this. Oh, but when they said, your son got better at 1 p.m., he did the calculating. He said, it was exactly at 1 p.m. when the master looked at me and said, thy son liveth. It was his word that healed my son. I believe I've been moved by this message. Verse 53, the father knew it was the same hour that Jesus said to him, thy son liveth, and himself believed in his whole house. Faith is not a leap in the dark. There was evidence. The father knew that he knew that he knew what happened. And look how the message moved. It moved in such a way that his whole house got saved. Glory to God. How many believe a whole family can still get saved? We got a message that moves. You might have heard, and because of something that happened last week, I researched it. But you might have heard of the missionary Robert Thomas to Korea when Korea was not open to trade or foreigners. He made one trip, distributed Bibles, and actually they took them from him and they ripped the pages out of the Bible. He came back for a second time to visit them. And we got on shore, they killed him. Those Koreans killed him. But one man got to looking around for something to wallpaper his house with. Some of us are old enough to remember when people used to take catalog pages and newspapers and put them on the walls. That wasn't just decorative. It was to cover the cracks and keep the wind out. He was looking for something to wallpaper his house with, and found the pages of those Bibles that they had ripped out, and he wallpapered his house with that Korean Bible. Big mistake. Because over the time, being in his house, he got to reading that. Can you imagine reading the walls of your house? He got to reading that, and the message began to move him until he got gloriously saved. He began to tell people what had happened. And pretty soon the news got out, and people began to come from near and far and crowd into his house to read his walls. And they got saved. Amen. I was reminded of that because Brother Taylor was just here, and he had been to Korea. He said, I met the descendants of those folks. That was back in the 1800s. He said, I met the descendants of those folks. They told me the story. I'm talking about a message that moves. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. It's a message that moves. It not only moves, it moves in the right direction. It not only moves, it changes lives. Oh, hallelujah. Let's stand and worship him that we've heard the message that moves. Thank you, Lord, for the message. Thank you for the message of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Have you been moved by the message this morning, the message of Jesus? Hallelujah. These altars are open. Maybe you're moved to come and pray for salvation, but maybe you're moved to share this message like never before, or maybe you're just moved to come and give thanks that there's everlasting water. Oh, that's what the message is. He's Messiah. He's the giver of living water, eternal life. Let's fill these altars this morning and say, move me one more time. Move me with the message one more time. Hallelujah. God, I want to be moved to share. Move when I reflect. Move.
move and I give thanks. Hallelujah. Do you need Jesus? His offer stands this morning.
There is a river of gladness.
Are you thirsty?
That pours from Emmanuel's veins.
He'll give you living water.
The sinner was plunged beneath the flood and got saved.
Oh, he got saved. Hallelujah.
Since then I walk in forgiveness.
I walk in forgiveness.
All of my guilt was erased. The chains of the past are broken at last. I got saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord.
I've been loose.
I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. How could I want more?
Moved by the message.
Since then I walk in forgiveness. All of my guilt was erased. The chains of the past are broken at last. I got saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I got Jesus. How could I want more?
Why don't you try it? Share this message again.
I've received nothing. Share it with somebody but goodness that needs saved.
Hallelujah.
I've tested and tasted your grace.
Oh, what a grace.
I was so lost till I fell at the cross and God saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus.